even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And Moose?
Moose,
yeah, yeah. Okay. No, that's fine. Well, I can remember it. Yeah, I can remember it, don't worry. We're all good? This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily. Thanks for downloading us. This is some of the highlights of this afternoon's show. And we have Ben Ryan coming. Ben was the coach of Fiji when they won the gold medal in the Rugby Sevens.
That's right.
It's a fascinating story. He's told it in his new book, and he was here to tell us all about that.
Less fascinating, but always fun, was the Moose.
Yeah, the Moose is in Russia, and he finally basically got out of his chair and stopped eating for 10 minutes. And it's taken its toll, as you will hear.
It's a miracle.
We played One Size Fits All with a couple of listeners.
It
was a great advert for motivational speaking.
Tremendous.
To himself.
It's true.
And we had a bit of a chat. We didn't completely agree on last night's game.
That's right. Well,
it's a game of opinions, John.
Very much so.
So we had a chat as well. So that's all here. Hope you enjoy it. So, it's 7 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Eddie.
Good afternoon, Paul. Never mind Michael Oliver and his decisions. What was he wearing underneath his shoulders? On his shirt yesterday? I think he was channeling Joan Collins in Dynasty.
Was your little shoulder pads?
Two little shoulder pads. Very strange. And Dynasty, a popular American drama series of the 80s.
Kids, yeah.
It's a new thing now. I've decided that I'm going to decipher all my references in future.
Yeah.
So people under 40 can sort of Google it.
Well,
and
I've got to be honest,
later.
You were a bit upset yesterday. I mean, I've never known you so upset. You said the words Diddy David Hamilton yesterday. And to a certain demographic of the audience, they'll know immediately the voice of Fulham, a continuity announcer, DJ for many years.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
In the gallery, of course, with the kids, with the Muppet Babies. Thousand-yard stare we get.
They didn't know it.
And Andy was most put out they'd never heard of Diddy David. I'm saying, well, for goodness sake, give him a break. You're not very understanding.
No,
when
no,
it
that's
comes
why
to
I've
that.
Decided to do this. It's a service to history. I decided to do that. Hmm. I enjoyed the game last night. I thought it was a terrific game. I think it was a penalty. Most people do. I think it's fair enough. But I just think that this game management. Yeah, you can argue he was right to send Buffon off. He was in his face. He was touching him. Yeah, you could say that. But if he got the yellow card out quickly. Then, if Buffon had kept going, then he could have red-carded him. It wasn't good game management by him. And, you know, at the end of the day, he took too long. And you could see by the time he was so flustered, and you often get this with Oliver, this panic in his face, this sort of redness. And then he can't get the card out quick enough. The red, get away from me, get away.
I don't think he's one of the worst doing that, Andy.
I just thought there's referees that do that far more.
Well, if he'd
given him a yellow, nobody would have said anything. You know, you have to make some allowance for the game situation. It wasn't like he gave the penalty in the 10th minute. This was in the 93rd minute. You know, they're 3-0 down. It's going to make all the difference. It's his last game. You do have to just make some allowance. If you're a good referee, it's man management. You just give him the yellow. If he still carries on, give him the red. I just thought he was too quick to give him the red.
He's a young ref and he's looking to make his way, and I'm sure he'd like to do the next World Cup. And he probably thought, as he's standing there being sort of knocked about, pushed from the back, screaming in his face, and he's experienced that before, as everybody has seen, of course, is because the Joe Hart moment has gone viral, and they've said, well, why wasn't that a red? But, you know, he won't get punished by FIFA because technically he did the right thing. Had he given the yellow, he probably would have got away with it as well, because he may have used some of the...
No, he would have done.
..the circumstances that you mentioned there. But there is a bigger picture to this, which we will come on to very shortly, because I think Buffon... we'll come on to that in a moment when Matt Scott joins us. We wonder if, looking at the big picture, whether it was a bad move to send off such a high profile.
No, we'll talk about it later. Exactly. But some of the other thoughts from the game. Douglas Costa, I mean, he's a brilliant player. Obviously, he's a fantastic, but he's incredibly annoying. And he did that thing that, you know what players do after they've done a terrible pass? Mm. He basically played a ball to Matuidi, who didn't. He sort of pointed him to run for. He played it 5 yards behind him.
Yeah.
And then sort of pointed in the direction where he should have gone, which would have been pointless because he passed it 5 yards behind him. But they always do that. And I reckon,
I've got a bit of breaking news, by the way. Lisa was just telling us that Zarnell Hughes had won gold in the 200 metres. Unfortunately, he's been disqualified.
Oh, so what a run, except he was disqualified.
What a shame. That is a shame. Anyway, so we don't quite know the circumstances. At least we'll tell you why.
It's only the Commonwealth Games.
That was a little bad.
Okay. Unless he matters.
I'm sure that's the way he's viewing it at the moment.
Well, he should
tears by the side of the...
No, he should view it that way.
Okay, fair enough.
What did I have the thought? Oh, yeah, because England are in with a chance of winning a beach volleyball medal.
Oh, yeah.
And if they do, I've decided the Commonwealth Games should be disbanded forever. Sorry.
Is that right?
Well, it obviously can't be a very high standard if England are going to win a medal at beach volleyball.
Wow,
where do they practice? Brighton.
They should definitely have you over there. You should have been our man at the Commonwealth Games. Like this little curmudgeon. What's the point? What's the point?
Yeah, that's fair enough.
What's the Commonwealth? Well,
I like the Commonwealth. Looking at Higuain last night, I honestly think I am quicker than Higuain.
Really?
Not over 2 yards, which is very important for a striker.
Yeah.
But I reckon I'd do him in 100 metres. He's so slow. It's incredible.
What about 60 metres?
Yeah. Anything over 2 yards. He'd be in front for the first 2 or 3 yards.
And then
I'd take
you'd
him.
You'd catch him up. Mm. If only we could make that happen.
Can you imagine?
I mean, I can't think in any circumstance. We'll contact his people. We got a guy here and he's in his 60s. And he thinks you're so slow. Or would you actually tell your man you think he's so slow that he would like
to do it in a thermal vest.
He'll do it in his thermal vest. And once Gonzalo has stopped laughing, I think he'll be up for this. So let's see if we can make it happen. I'm not hopeful.
Good of Keylor Navas to make David De Gea's price go up again. That was a tremendous bit of goalkeeping. Yeah. You actually thought he'd been fouled because it was so incompetent.
Yeah.
And then when you saw it from behind, no, he just bottled it completely.
A couple of sensational games in the Champions League this week. We're going to head to Italy a little bit later on. The owner of Roma got a little bit too excited and is probably going to pick up a 500 quid fine, which I think he's kind of dealt with anyway. We'll tell you why a little bit later on if you haven't seen that story.
Isn't it amazing, though, that people in football at the highest level don't know the rules? I mean, how can Sergio Ramos sit on the bench? Somebody at Madrid, somebody must know. If you're suspended, you cannot go anywhere near the bench.
Basically, he was like the assistant coach.
Ah, and he's banned, isn't he? He's got another ban now for the next game.
Oh, has he really? He went down there and was kind of directing traffic, wasn't he? He was working with Zidane.
Isn't it? And talking of sanctioned, PSG, we're going to talk about this later, they may be sanctioned by UEFA. They're not very happy about it.
No.
But, I don't know why. What's
they're denying it, that's why. Yeah, but we'll come on to that in a moment.
Depends. What's wrong with the Qatari tourist board spending $120 million to persuade fans to go there on holiday? I know I'm going off. After watching them play Real Madrid, it's the first thing I wanted
really?
To do.
Really? After Qatar on holiday? I'm sure you have a cracking time end.
No, that's true. That figure's true. No company in the world, no tourist board, would spend that much with one organisation.
Well, we're going to talk about that next in a bit more detail. We're going to talk about why Michael Oliver, playing the long game, may have just queered his pitch with UEFA. And also, Gianni Infantino, the FIFA president, wants to get $25 billion together from various parts of the world where there is money like that, China, petrodollars, etc., and put on some new tournaments. What we really need is some new tournaments in the windows where there aren't tournaments.
Yeah, I think the top footballers need to play more.
Definitely, yeah. I think that comes across really in every time we have a World Cup, doesn't it? More football
could
is definitely
Could you be more greedy? You just couldn't, could you?
Well, it will go into grassroots, so it's quite difficult to argue with.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Yes, it's official. Frank Warren, as Toby was just telling you, has announced that Tyson Fury will be back June the 9th at the Manchester Arena. And we're able to catch up with Tyson Fury a little bit later on in the show. His press conference run a little bit later than planned. So, yeah, we'll try and have a chat with him later on.
The Daily Star, who do absolutely love a World Cup scare story. They've done everything. There can't
packs
be anything.
Of wild dogs. Male hooligans,
mosquitoes, you name it. Anything.
Stadiums disappearing into the mud.
The grass isn't going to be grown. Everything you could possibly imagine is going to happen. You can't even imagine how the tournament could even take place. But
and I pointedly said, male football hooligans, because this is today's story, isn't it?
It is. England football fans face a new menace at the World Cup in Russia. Gangs of female ultras with model looks, willing to fight to the death, apparently.
Wow.
One girl brawler threatened last night, "We'll be waiting for our foreign guests." Sure, you don't mean just English guests. They boast flooring an opponent is as easy as making beetroot soup, a traditional Russian dish, they point out helpfully. Do you mean borscht?
This all sounds very well researched, Andy.
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant, isn't
it?
Yeah. And they've even got an editorial on it. As there's a new menace. Gangs of marauding hooligan thugs are vowing to give our supporters a kicking as well. And judging by the footage of them in action, they mean business. Worse still, these female ultras will regularly join forces with their male counterparts to double the carnage, just in case. It's no laughing matter, though. Well, it wouldn't be, really, let's be honest. Male or female, these jobs must be dealt with properly. Fans should be able to enjoy the World Cup without fear. This means Russian authorities must act now to ensure our supporters are safe. The best way is to find these gangs and lock them up. Wow. Yeah, I'm sure they'll take a lot of notice of that, as they do for everything that comes from England.
The Moose, brilliant. I don't know if he's in Moscow. I'll chat to him later. I don't know if he's seen any hooligans with model looks. We'll find out.
It seems unlikely.
It doesn't sound like he's been set upon. It's all gone very quietly for him so far, thankfully.
I was trying to think what other scare stories they could come up with, and I couldn't really come up with any, but you might be able to.
TalkSport listener.
We can pass them on to Jerry Lawton. He loves them.
Yeah, if you're just, you know, half-truth or something, they can see if there's anything in it. They can look into it for you. So have you got a World Cup scare story this afternoon you'd like just to start? TalkSport, it's fake news, of course, literally. TalkSport.com/H&J. Text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J. Now, we saw some pictures of the Villa players after their game the other night, their 1-0 win against Cardiff, with Prince William. And
was it before or after? I mean, all the papers are saying it's before, but to me it looks like after. I mean, why would he... I can't imagine he'd go in there...
To what I'm about to say, it's not really relevant.
No, but I can't imagine he'd go in there before the game.
He gave him a pep talk.
Did he?
Yeah. Well,
maybe it was.
He went in for a pre-match pep talk, and it was like Barry Fry. It's like Reedy when
really?
They did that Sunderland documentary. Effing and Jeffing and throwing cups about.
Yeah.
But, Prince William went in and saw them. I would imagine he'd be pictured with the team after the game, wouldn't he? I know, because it was after the game, because...
It looked like after the game to me, the way the players were dressed and, you know, just showered and everything. But we'll see. Well, it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, that's not what I was going to say. You've taken us down a route. Jack Grealish gave him his shirt, so he was there before. So let's say he was there before and after. Yeah, he was before for the pep talk.
Half time.
He was there. He was basically on the pitch for training. You happy now? The reason I bring this up is that Mila Jedinak was pictured there. And have you seen his beard?
That
recently?
Is some beard. I was quite envious, actually.
Now, surely, if you're a striker and I'm sure Alan Shearer would have done this. You're there, you're waiting to kind of get the upper hand.
Pull.
Never mind pulling his shirt. Pull his beard. I mean, you get hold of his beard from a corner. He's not getting off the ground, is he?
Not really, no.
And who's going to see it?
Well...
I mean,
I don't know. You would see it, because basically pulling him by the beard, I think you'd notice.
Well, you can do anything on the old blind side of the ref, can't you? If you try hard enough,
I suppose you can. Yeah,
but I'm sure they're working on it at Stoke this afternoon.
They probably
in Readyman for next season when they play Villa.
I'm sure that won't happen. Villa might come up. Stoke might not go down.
Oh, you said that as a secondary thing.
Well, you don't know, do you?
So,
I was watching the 2020 last night, and.
Have you ever pulled any... I mean, I wonder if this is out. I'm going to ask the listeners.
I've never pulled any.
No, not you. But have you ever... I mean, what have you pulled to stop... Now, within reason, obviously, to stop a player getting away. I mean, it's often shirts, isn't it?
Don't say his wife.
No, don't say his wife, because we're not putting that out. Or anything else
that way.
In the vicinity. So, but beards. I mean, has anybody ever had their beard pulled in again? Hoxton Rovers, they must live a bit on the day... on a weekly basis.
What a team.
What's it like playing for Hoxton Rovers in the Shoreditch and Hackney League? I mean, the beard pulling
team
that goes
of Alan Corks.
Yeah, the beard pulling that goes on at that level. Let us know. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSO.
They obviously have a coffee at half time rather than a tea.
They probably do, but they have to wait to a certain, when the water gets perfectly hot enough, and they only when the beans are absolutely
right.
That's right. Yeah.
And I was watching the 2020, and the match was reduced to a Duckworth Lewis.
Oh, right.
And just doesn't work for 2020. Duckworth Lewis and Stern have got to come up with a better system than this.
Yeah, got to come up with a better name, really.
Well, they have, really. Because I even wrote to Harsha Bogle on Twitter about this.
I'm waiting for Stern to leave and go solo. Bring out his solo album.
Well, he should, because seriously, you're either asked to chase a ridiculous number, like this was 71 in six overs, which is pretty impossible. no time to look at even one ball. Or the target is too easy because you've got all your wickets in hand. They need to come up with a system that is less runs but less wickets. So you can only, you know, if you lose five wickets, that's it. You've only got five wickets worth to get it and this sort of thing. But it would make it a lot better. Otherwise, it's just pointless. They might as well just give them 1 point each and don't bother, would be my view.
I've got bad news.
Oh, have you?
Another World Cup scare story has just come on.
Oh, no, what is
Jimmy
it?
Jimmy Furman has heard that Russian ultras are training Kodiak bears. No, I don't mean that one.
Jerry's got that one. He's writing that down.
So basically, the bears are being attacked to attack people in England shirts. They're showing them England shirts. They only attack people in England shirts. These bears need locking up. Hashtag killer bears. Mm. So he's really going to it. Jimmy, thank you for passing that on. We'll look out for killer bears when we're over there.
It's true.
So they've started coming in already, the World Cup scare story.
It's a good idea. Yeah. You see Dele Alli yesterday. He went to a sort of fancy dress party as Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
Not quite intelligent.
As Peaky Blinders.
Well, as somebody from Peaky Blinders. I won't say what I thought he really looked like, because I know you will only rush to his defence.
He had little glasses on and a cap, didn't he?
He didn't look good.
Well, you know, it doesn't look like something from the 20s, isn't he, really? What do you expect him to look like? It's
less like E.T., I would have said, but there
you go. Oh, okay. Fair enough.
What can you say? And I'll say this for Rupert. It's about a royal trio of, or trio of royal-linked horses that are getting everybody excited at the National. They're very unfortunate. Nicola Adams, the girl that she was engaged to, has left her and taken up with this.
Who knows what went on? There are other stories from the Nicola Adams camp that the relationship fizzled out.
Oh, okay.
And she's on the rebound, her former partner.
Well, I'm going with the Oracle, the Daily Star, the man who nicked.
These are the people that just told you there's gangs of female hooligans roaming the streets looking for the moose.
Rubbish, really, isn't it? Yeah. The man who nicked the lesbian ex-fiancé of champion boxer Nicola Adams spoke yesterday of his love. Personal trainer Frank, no last name, is to marry...
Just Frank?
Yeah, just says Frank. Marlon Esparza, after an engagement, ended in tears. We don't know why. It could be whoever you believe. The American hunk said on social media, "On June the 3rd, I'm going to marry the girl of my dreams, the love of my life."
Yeah.
"The person that was designed specifically for me." I'm thinking, don't say that. I'll give it 5 minutes.
Oh, Andy.
Now, you don't want to be... It's such an arrogant thing to say about anybody. This person's designed especially for me.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, that can be arranged in certain circles, can't it? This is just called Frank.
Frank. Just Frank.
Really?
And
He hasn't got a massive head. And he didn't do it in song by saying, "I love this girl, she is designed for me."
Yeah, no.
Wasn't that Frank?
No,
it wasn't. No, sadly, late great. Sadly can't be the late great.
And there were stories yesterday that Danny Drinkwater will be considering his future at the end of the season. And some Chelsea fans seem to be sort of gleefully
saying... What is considering your future? Do you think they kind of sit round in cafes, just rubbing their chins?
Yeah, well,
what are you doing there? What are you doing there, Danny?
What sort of beard he's got. But,
will you give me 5 minutes? I'm just considering my future.
But I honestly, some Chelsea fans are sort of saying, waving him goodbye and all this stuff. I cannot think of a player that's been treated worse than this play. I think the club have treated him appallingly, especially with Conte. And what is fascinating is, I was thinking about this, last year when Chelsea won the league, he very rarely played Fabregas in a two. He played Matic and Kante, and then he'd play Fabregas either in the three with, you know, just behind Costa.
Never played him in a two. Or
played him in a two, and he played him. So, but somehow this season he thinks he's good enough to play in a two every game.
Mm.
So you just, what does that suggest to you? You know, the whole thing.
Well, when
just,
the DVD
just
comes
this
out.
Game, isn't it? You know, where I'm not playing him because I didn't want him. You bought him, and I'm not playing him.
So you're saying when the DVD comes out, it will be, let's take you back now to 2017-18, the springtime for Hitler season, as we now call it.
Absolutely.
Don't you reckon?
Well, I'm convinced of it. Absolutely. Okay. The one game he did play in against United, Chelsea looked quite good in midfield. They looked quite good in the whole game.
Yeah. But, I'm surprised he's not played more. I'm with you on that one.
You know, he did win the league with Kante 2 years
especially
ago.
Especially as the two of them, as a unit, won the league.
It's poor. It's poor.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon. Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Ben Ryan was the Englishman that coached at Fiji to Rugby Sevens glory in the Olympics and won them gold and became a national hero. His story is an amazing one. And it's told now in his book, Seven's Heaven. Good afternoon, Ben. Good
afternoon. Nice to be here.
It is a crazy tale, isn't it? It was just a chance tweet from your mate telling you that the Fiji job was up for grabs, and that kind of set the ball rolling.
It's as straightforward as that. Mm. Yeah, and a series of 2 a.m. Skype interviews, and then a phone call in a pub in Richmond, given 20 minutes to make my decision, not knowing how much I was going to get paid, how long the contract was, that my boss was the dictator, that my line manager was a convicted murderer, you know, all those sort of things. All those sort of things.
Yeah. But you say you made your mind up after 2 seconds. As soon as they offered you the job, you knew you wanted to. I mean, you obviously had to discuss it with your missus and stuff, because it's a big decision, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a big decision. However, I'd become really stale. I hadn't become a very good version of myself. I'd become a bit worn down by the system. I'd been brought in as a young coach to England, quite creative, left of field. Got chipped away a little bit, ended up falling out with my boss. I knew I wanted to leave. And my last game was a World Cup final in sevens, got the team to the final against New Zealand, first time in 20 years. I didn't really feel excited about winning that semi-final to get in the final. I knew it was time to go. And Fiji was that reset button for me.
So were you aware how big it is in Fiji? Sevens, I presume you were.
I played against Fiji as a player. I'd coached some of the boys that are in the British Army that are Fijian. And I'd coached against Fiji for England. But I wasn't aware of the, you know, just how big it was on the island. It is huge. It's, you know, this tiny little dot in the middle of the South Pacific. Yet, you know, in rugby sevens, they're world beaters.
And you I mean, you say you were given 20 minutes, but that doesn't really tell the whole thing, does it? Because they called a press conference and said, "We've called the press conference," and you said, "What for?" I said, "Well, to announce you as the coach," but you'd not actually said yes to the job.
No, I hadn't.
You didn't even know you'd got it at that point.
No, I didn't. I didn't have a clue, and I was half a bottle of red wine down in the pub as well. and that was quickly a full bottle down. Mm. Berlin Kafoa, well, he was the stand-in CEO, because my original interview was with the chief executive that got sacked immediately after my interview, so I thought it was all over. And Berlin rang me up and gave me 20 minutes, and like I said, made the decision, and 4 days later... I'd paid my way to Fiji. That was also a little red flag that they asked me to pay for my flights.
And what, and they give you the money when you got there?
Yeah, that never happened. and it wasn't until, you know, I was flying back at Christmas to get all our gear and move back that they told me that they didn't have any money, and is it okay if I went unpaid for up to 6 months? And with all of that stuff happening, I'm not sure how you can, you know, maybe Brazil and football, but when you're coaching Fijian boys, all of that stuff gets pushed to one side because of just the sheer joy of coaching them. Mm. You know, so talented, so grateful. None of them come from a rich background. You know, the rich boy in the team, Osea Klinisau, our captain, took it in turns to go to school because his dad could only afford the bus fare for two out of his three sons and daughters. You know, so they were very grateful, and it was their, you know, they did well. It would normally get them a contract overseas, which would ultimately mean that their family were going to get a wage as well. Mm. So it was life-changing.
When you went there, you kind of found, you know, great natural talent, but it needed honing, I think it's fair to say.
It definitely did. And, you know, I won the first fitness test, which for a left-handed short-sighted gingers, not so good. and that's because they just waited for the new coach. They didn't want to try and impress him, because they thought if it was a local coach from a certain region, they wouldn't get picked. You know, their cousins or somebody in the army would get the nod in front of them. And they didn't have any money. The union had gone bankrupt. They were getting investigated by World Rugby, so all that funding had stopped as well. Mm. So I literally was putting petrol in the bus in those first few weeks, and I was scouring the islands, not all 355 of them, but lots of them, to find talent, and it was there in abundance, but I just had to give some, you know, a solid framework for them to do their thing.
Did you like living in Fiji?
I did. I loved it. It took time to get used to the pace of life. You know, it's a third world country. So, you know, although you do think beaches and palm trees, most people live in the interior, in settlements or in villages that might have, you know, minimum of facilities. There'll still be long drops in some of those places. There might be one generator that works once a week. You know, there's those sort of things. Takes time to get used to, but once you do get used to the pace of life, and they're so grateful for what little they have, you know, without getting too deep about it, it does change your perspective on everything, really. Mm.
Did you live in Suva?
No, I didn't like, I don't like, Suva's the capital. It's a bit dirty and a bit city-like. I lived an hour outside in in Surua, province of Surua, and a place called Pacific Harbour out on the beach. So it was that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Culturally, how difficult was it? I mean, you know, I would imagine there was a lot of things that you probably didn't understand when you got there in the behaviour and the habits of the players.
For sure. And what I didn't want to do is come in as this English bloke thinking that I knew it all and tell them this is how to run your programme and do things. I had to go in. I had to listen and go and meet people and the stakeholders, which is the population of Fiji, and whether that's my up managing my boss, the Prime Minister, or the players or the people. I had to garner as much information as I could, and then I got to plan my work and then work my plan. So yeah, I adapted, but my outlook on the game is a simple one, and it's an offloading, attack minded game, which suited the way Fiji wanted the game to be played as well. So there was a lot of happenstance and luck in my appointment as well. We knitted together quite well.
Did you think you could win gold when you went off to Rio?
In the first few months, it was. Don't get me wrong, it was very difficult. But there's that. I saw the talent, and I had coached the England team for 8 years, so I could quite easily get a barometer of what world class looked like, and I could see that all around us. We just had to stick some systems in place.
Yeah.
So after 6 months, I thought. And my second tournament in charge.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The first one that I selected the team was, was Dubai Sevens. They hadn't ever won it before. And we beat New Zealand 44-0 in the semi-final. Mm. You know, they put 8 players on the field, which, they hadn't done the maths right there in the seven-a-side game.
It's the right idea, is it, really?
And that set the standard that with a little preparation, they would go a long way. And so I knew that it would be down to us come Olympic Games, not the opposition.
After you won the final against England, did anybody from the RFU come
GB,
up to you? GB?
Yeah.
GB.
After we won our first world title, it was at Twickenham, and the CEO, Ian Ritchie, came over and warmly shook my hands, and I always got one well with him. My line manager avoided that situation, so he didn't. And the following year, the same thing happened. And when we won the Olympic final, I did get the RFU ringing me up and congratulating me, as well as all the world rugby people there.
Nice.
I mean, there was all sorts of people, as you know.
What about in Fiji? Did they go mad when you went back?
Yeah, we had 3 days bank holidays. We had this parade around the city. They were sticking babies in front of the road, so the bus had to stop, and we had to get out of the bus to sign everyone, meet everyone in the village.
Good Lord.
I was given the highest honour you can in Fiji, made sort of the companion of Fiji, which is the equivalent to a knighthood. And I'm the first non-Fijian chief in the province now of Surua. So Ratu Penny Ryan, Ryani Latinara is my official Fijian name.
Do you use that much? booking tables in restaurants?
It's a long one
back
on
in London.
It's a long one on an email.
Yeah.
I came back a few months later, and they had decided to put my face on their 50-cent piece coins and on the banknotes. So it didn't. When I talked to the Prime Minister, he was not particularly pro Great Britain post coup, especially. And so they took the Queen's head off the coins and the notes, and then they replaced it with my head. So
the final itself. Amazing. I mean, because it was like Team GB, and everybody gets very excited when Team GB are in a final. But, I mean, they were so roundly cuffed in there. I mean, was it 29-0 at half-time, wasn't it? I mean, it was just, I remember the game. It was. Yeah. I mean, they were so good. I mean, you'll get powerful players and you'll get quick players, but you don't often get a mix of players that are that quick and that powerful. And in full flow, they were just brilliant to watch.
They were, and it's, you know, my ultimate job as a coach is to make myself redundant. So you can go in the stand, have a beer and watch them because you know everything's sorted, they understand it. I probably could have done that in the final. Very little I had to do. The game was won in the first 30 seconds. It was actually won in the warm-up when I watched the Great Britain boys go out to warm up, and they were very stiff. There was a huge entourage around them. There was no smiling. It was all whistle-led. It was all run by the coach. Our boys were late for the warm-up. They were in the change room dancing with each other. They weren't feeling overconfident. They were just competent and knew what was going on. And when we ran on the field, it was like the bell was about to go at lunchtime and they were going out to have some fun. You don't always get that sort of perfect place as a coach.
No, I mean, how do you replicate that? Whatever you do, whoever you coach at sevens after that, it'll never be quite the same, will it?
Yeah, you hope that that's not your highlights, but ultimately you know that sometimes, you know, they come at different points.
Sure.
You just try to create this environment that gets the best out of people. It's as simple as that, really.
Yeah.
Be consistent.
Aren't they going to want you for the next Olympics? Surely they are.
They didn't have a great year after the Olympics, and they've now started to recover and hit some form, and they're playing brilliantly. They won Hong Kong last weekend. They're probably favourites for the Commonwealth Games this weekend. And, you know, you don't always get a chance as a coach to leave on your own terms. And I did that, and I've done sevens, and the future will be somewhere else.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it obviously worked out, didn't it? Taking that punt, which was risky at the time, financially and everything, it's like rejuvenated you as a coach.
Right? Yeah, it changed everything for me. And it's those decisions where you have that, you're so excited and at the same time you feel sick and you just have to go with it and take a risk. And I'm so glad I took that decision. I didn't really have any of the information at hand, but my gut said go for it. And it was probably, certainly in my career, the best decision I've ever had.
Brilliant. Well, it's a great story and a great read. We do recommend it. Ben, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
No, pleasure. Thank you.
Sevens Heaven is available now.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. We're in the final hour of the show. We'll bring you more live racing from the first day of the Aintree Festival. That's at 3:25. We're going to play One Size Fits All. Now, if you've not heard this before, it's pretty straightforward.
Mm.
Fits All, a former professional footballer known as One Size in the dressing room.
Yeah, good.
You may remember Zondecki, the fine cricketer, known as All Hands.
All Hands, yeah.
In the dressing room. You get the idea. We are looking for... what would they be called in the dressing room, this list of footballers from Leagues 1 and 2 that I have in front of me? That's all you've got to go for. If you've heard it before, you'll get the idea. If you haven't, you'll pick it up very quickly. So Andy is the arbiter of who's right and who's wrong. It's just a bit of fun. There's no cash prize, or indeed no prize at all. It's just for pride.
Pride.
So just do it for pride, folks. So give us a call if you would like to take part in One Size Fits All at 3:30. 08717 223 344. That's 08717 223 344. We need two TalkSport listeners to go head to head and just tell us what this list of people would be known as in the dressing room. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Anyway, more fallout then in Italy, not just from last night, as we say, but from the incredible game the night before in Rome. Tancredi Palmieri, Italian football journalist and broadcaster, joins us now. Tancredi, good afternoon.
Buongiorno, guys. Buongiorno, everybody.
Well, what's being said, not just in Turin today, but across the whole of Italy after what happened in Madrid last night?
It's a mess. It's really a mess. Everybody just talking about that, which, in fairness, it's also a bit of a pity because we have witnessed a fantastic football game, a fantastic performance from Juventus, almost a perfect master plan, and things happen. I mean, the expression is another one, but I know I can't use it that on air.
No.
Let's say things happen in life. So for how much it hurts to lose that game, 15 seconds to the end with a penalty, for how much it helps, but it can happen. But unfortunately, today there is not any talk about that. It's all about the penalty, the referee, the decision, and especially about the words, the massive words, too much massive, from the Juventus president Andrea Agnelli and from Gigi Buffon in the post-match. Andrea Agnelli basically saying in a very unhappy sentence, I have to say, saying the only unhappy person tonight will be the referee going home, saying basically saying threatening the ref Pierluigi, the commissioner of the referees, Pierluigi Collina, saying he's been staying too much at his place. He wants to pretend to not to be biased, penalizing all the Italian teams in Europe, and this is no more a standable situation, which is a bit of a long time, I would say, failed between Collina and Juventus, because Collina was the referee of the 2001 game Perugia-Juventus that made the lose the Scudetto to Juventus. Italians never forget. And then Buffon, mamma mia, Buffon. You know, although one thing are the executives and one thing are the players, so in some way you can comprehend, maybe not share, but comprehend the reaction of Buffon. He maybe went too far. Buffon said Michael Oliver, the referee, was an animal, a beast, a garbage bin. He got, no, in place of the heart, he had a garbage bin, and he went to the point of saying he was a killer with that decision. And all in all, for a penalty that could actually be awarded. Imagine if it was completely out of reality.
In the interest of fairness, though, on your Twitter feed, I saw that you put up a shot of the Isco disallowed goal, which does look as if he was onside. So, you know, you win some and you lose some.
Yeah, in fact, well, to be honest, I saw that in real time, but I graduated referee when in 2000 with the same masters of Collina in Bologna, so maybe Agnelli wouldn't have liked not even that. But yeah, I mean, that was also a tough call. Anyway, it wasn't an easy call, but considering that Andrea Agnelli asked for video assistant refereeing after the game, which is something to support and to back, obviously, because football is going ahead, not going back, but you should you have to put everything in context. So with VAR, actually, that would have been that goal for Real Madrid. It's, I can tell you, today is a huge mess. It's everybody talking about that. And unfortunately, majority of people and medias also are pointing, but of media definitely are pointing at the fact that Italians were robbed and everything, which it's a bit of a shame and a pity, because it's also overshadowing the things you were mentioning. These 2 days of football from Italy never rule out, never write off Italians, just never. And I have to tell you, we have seen some kind of demonstration like that in the past, for example, Euro 2016. But the Euro 2016, it was also based on that old guard that you wouldn't know how long would last. Buffon, Chiellini, Barzagli. This one from Juventus, and the one especially from Roma, mamma mia, it was a masterclass made also by, with a combination with new generations, Di Francesco, a completely brand new figure in on international level, the Allegri comeback. I have to tell you, we have a few days with headlines going on the head-to-head Spain-Italy that was 7-1 last week. In the end, it finished 8-7. Unlucky, but 8-7 is not bad when you are down 7-1.
Pretty good. There's finally one of the interesting stories to come from Rome after the fantastic result on Tuesday was that the owner of Roma, James Pallotta, decided to go for a swim in one of the Renaissance fountains. It's a €500 fine, apparently, and he's been very apologetic. He's even phoned the mayor of Rome to apologise. He said the emotion was too much for him.
Not only that, but the day after, when he paid the fine, he also, as a goodwill, he offered 230,000 euros to restore the fountain of the Pantheon. Wow. No, I wanted to tell you, to say to James Pallotta, the Roman president, that I have a bath at home that need to be fixed. If he wants to come to take a bath, and then even a couple of thousand of pounds would be good for me. It's fine to restore everything.
Fantastic.
But, thanks, Tancredi.
We're out of time, Tank. Thanks very much. We'll speak to you soon.
Brilliant.
Thanks to you, my guys.
There we are, Tancredi Palmieri there, over.
He's entertaining,
in
isn't he?
Italy.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. One size fits all.
Yeah, time for One Size Fits All. Fits all, the fine footballer known as One Size in the dressing room. But I've got six names in front of me, seven if we need a tie break. But what are they known as? And what are they known as? Because these are serving footballers League One and Two. What are they known as in the dressing room? It's going to be up to Jamie, the Leeds fan, and Rick, the Fulham fan, to tell us. One of them will be victorious. Jamie, very good afternoon.
Hello there.
Jamie, have you heard this before?
I have actually, yes.
So you know what to expect?
Yes, I'll
kind
say
of.
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of.
You okay. Can't remember it.
It doesn't matter. Rick, good afternoon.
Legends.
Oh, well, I'm working on the basis that he has heard it before, or he just bandies that word around willy-nilly.
So, Rick's won it.
Well done, Rick. Congratulations. Anyway, Jamie versus Rick. We're going to toss a coin, are we, to see who goes first? Well, no, we don't need to, because in this game, it's about shouting out your name first, isn't it? We don't need to toss
that's
a coin.
Exactly right. Yeah.
So what I'm going to do, guys, is give you the name.
Even we've forgotten.
I've forgotten how to play it. Give you the name of this person. Shout out your name very clearly, then give us your guess. Don't shout out your guess and then your name afterwards, unfortunately, because the other person gets first tilt then. So say your name clearly. First one to say the name gets the first tilt of guessing what this person is known as in the dressing room. So here we go then. The first name is the Notts County striker, Jonathan Forte.
Jamie,
what do you reckon?
Life begins at.
Life begins at, says Jamie. So, Jonathan Forte, what do you think, Rick?
Naughty.
Naughty 40.
Naughty 40 or 40 naughty? Well, it could be naughty, naughty.
Naughty 40.
I'm going life begins at 40.
Well, I mean, I would have thought you would have gone Basil, Trust House.
Yeah. Oh,
you could have had...
Fide Wine, I went with.
Well, pardon?
Fide Wine.
Fide Wine. 40 Fide Wine. Known as Fide Wine in the dressing room. Okay, so Jamie's 1-0 up.
Yeah.
Rick's giving himself a bit of a pep talk by the sound of it. He's trying to get himself going again. So here we go then.
1-0.
Shout your name clearly if you know this one. It is the Chesterfield winger, Zavon Hines.
Jamie.
Beans.
Well, fair enough.
So he's gone beans as Jamie. Zavon Hines. What do you think, Rick?
57 varieties.
57 Hines. Well, you know, all great advertising.
I'm preferred 57 varieties.
Well, you could have had beans means, you could have had baked beans, you could have had Gabriel.
I've often wondered what the other 56 varieties were.
Let's not go through that now. So it's 1-1, making a fist of it now.
It is.
Here we go then. It's the Wimbledon frontman, Egli Kadja.
Rick.
Yeah,
Goo-goo.
And known as Goo Goo in the dressing room.
Yeah, pretty good.
That's good work. So, Jamie, can you come back with anything? Egli Kadja.
Kadja.
No?
I can't think.
You could have had Falling Star.
Yeah.
You could have had Rat Kadja.
Rat Kadja.
He's a Rad Kadja. Anyway, so it's 2-1.
2-1 to Rick after his pep talk.
2-1 to Rick. It's the Scunthorpe. He had a good, long, hard talk to himself.
We need Prince William to go into Jamie's dressing room.
He hasn't got a dressing room. Scunthorpe midfielder, Dwayne Holmes.
Rick. Under the Hammer.
Known as Under the Hammer.
That's pretty good.
In the dressing room. What do you think, Jamie? Dwayne Holmes.
Oh.
It's one obvious one, really.
Is there...
No.
I think it's gone.
It's gone. Sherlock, surely.
I'm going Eamon on Talk Radio.
It could be called Eamon, yeah. Eamon Sherlock Under the Hammer. So that's 3-1, isn't it? Jamie, that chat he had to himself was really worked.
It's worked.
But there's still time. There's still time for you to get back into this, Jamie. Yeah, you can still be him. Okay. It's the Oxford United defender, Rob Dickey.
Jamie. Bird.
Bird. Oh, yeah, okay, that's pretty good. Bird, yeah. What do you think, Rick?
I'm going to go route run with a bit of tricky dicky.
You're going to go tricky. Could be called tricky. Could be called tummy.
I'm going for the sporting one there. Bird, 3-2.
3-2. Okay. You gerrymandering this is too much. Not really. Say. Okay. Wimbledon midfielder.
3-3. Oh, no, sorry.
No, it's 3-2. Wimbledon midfielder. Liam Trotter.
Rick. Rodney.
Known as Rodney in the dressing room. Yes. Well, yeah. What are you going for, Jamie? Yes, Liam Trotter.
Delboy.
Oh, Delboy's just another member of the cast of Only Fools and Horses. I don't think that's going to win it for a man, is it? I thought he might have gone pigs. Not a great
one. I don't know. Well, why is Rodney better than Delboy?
Well, because he got there first. And all really, Jamie, I'm asking you.
All right. 4-2.
4-2, I think we've got to be fair.
Yeah, Rick's won it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Kenny's estate's going to get a few quid over the summer.
They're loving it.
Midnight in Moscow, Kenny Borney's Jazz Men. Their first song you always think of when you think of Russia, of course. And and the Moose is there for TalkSport ahead of CSKA versus Arsenal this evening. Good afternoon again, Moose.
Yeah, good afternoon. Actually, I hadn't heard that song till yesterday. I'm already fed up with it today.
The weather looking very nice, Ian, today, even from your photos on Twitter.
Do you know, absolutely gorgeous. I mean, you know, there hasn't been a cloud in the sky pretty much since I arrived here. Although, I went on a bit of a trek today. I went to the Luzhniki Stadium. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's looking really good for the World Cup. I mean, they've really done a good job on sprucing that up. And you know, that looks the part. The Aquatic Centre next door is a building site. So I hope they get that finished before the next 59 days. Otherwise,
they don't need an aquatic centre.
Is this for Dele Alli? I'm going to say it before anybody else does. I'm going to say it before any. You never get your own mum, but no one else can.
No, I mean, I simply mean because when you're going to the stadium, otherwise you've got to walk a long way around because it's a bit of a building site. But I'm sure they'll tidy it all up before before the big thing, the big competition starts in 59 days' time.
Now,
I then thought I'd have a little walk.
Oh yeah,
little
which is not like which here. Is not like you haven't been on tour.
No, that's not little not being the operative word. Mm. And I thought I'd go to somewhere called Sparrows Hill that you mentioned yesterday.
Yeah, where they're going to have
the fan zone will be. Mm. By the way, good luck with that at the moment because I mean that's the building site to end all building sites. But there we go. I mean they're still working on that. So I asked the Russian policeman that I met, who was very helpful and spoke English to a certain degree, how I got there. And he told me I had to cross over a bridge, which was much more preferable than the cable car, which A, wasn't working because that's still being fixed as well. And B, I'm not very good with heights. So I had to walk over a bridge and then just go up the hill and onto the main road and turn left. So I thought, that can't be difficult, can't be very far. Go up a hill. I went through some wood. I mean, literally, Epping Forest is smaller. And by the way, it's still covered in snow. I mean, despite the glorious weather, and despite the fact we're nearly in May, it was absolutely covered in snow. So I've creaked up this hill, and I've got to the main road. I've got to this main road, and I've turned down to where he said it was. Could I find this Sparrows Hill? Not for all the tea in China. Hmm. So it had observation points. I thought, I'll go to the observation point and I'll have a look and see if from there I can see Sparrows Hill. Trouble was, the observation point was closed because, you guessed it, they're still building it.
Right.
Anyway, so I found Moscow University. You can't really miss that. It's a great big huge thing that Stalin built. So I have my picture taken near there, and apparently Sparrows Hill is near there. But and by the way, if everyone's got to go through this wood, then yeah. I'm going to end up coming back stick thin at the end of the summer.
I hope this story's got a big ending.
Not really. Anyway, I then lost my bearings. I couldn't find the underground station. Mm-hmm. Ended up walking another hour and a half to find that. In the end, I've walked 9 miles today.
Wow, that's good.
That's good for you.
Very good for you.
I haven't walked 9 miles in my life before, let alone in one day.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Well, that's good.
Not since the London Marathon.
And now there's a match tonight.
Yeah,
that's not, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you can, score one of these Russian hats. You've probably seen that.
Yes, I've seen that.
Gentle
yeah, yeah.
fans, the kind of Russian Federation's kind of warm welcome to fans when they come over for games. They're going to be giving out Russian hats to the Arsenal fans.
I really want one of these. I mean, if there's an Arsenal fan listening over here, listening to the show, please come around to the media entrance. I'm too knackered to walk around to where you'll be sitting. Because I really, really want one of these hats. I mean, they sound really good fun. I'm sure I'll try and get hold of one at some point tonight. But
you'll
yeah,
get,
I mean,
I know you. You'll get one.
I hope so.
Get two.
Yeah.
I remember you with the Russian mascot at the draw.
He was on the blag. Yeah.
The thing with that is, right, they give out the teddy bear mascot at the draw, which is great. The problem is they only give you one.
You need two.
You know, sorry, I've got two kids. I can't go back with one.
They don't
teddy
know
bear.
That, do they?
No. So, you know, instead of having to go and buy a second one, the options were either buy one or nick one or blag a second one. In the end, I was able to blag a second one.
Now, let me just ask you very quickly.
Yeah.
Couple of players left at home, one or two not starting tonight for Arsenal. That's already been confirmed, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Granit Xhaka's got flu. I mean, quite how he can... Well, I don't know what the weather's like in London, mind you, but, I mean, I'm not sure how you can get flu this time of year, but he's got flu, so he's not here. I think... It's not really. I think to be honest with you, Arsenal, whatever team he puts out tonight, should be strong enough. I mean, from what I saw last week, CSK very good going forward. Golovin, who scored the goal, is a player who apparently has been interesting Arsenal, and he scored a terrific free kick last week. The only trouble is that the average age in the Arsenal team is half of Andy's age. I mean, it's 138 back four, including the goalkeeper, and they all played 12 years ago against Arsenal when they drew 0-0. Well, 12 years ago they were spring chickens, and they probably were very good players. Now they look what they are, which is old men. So I fancy Arsenal to score tonight, and I don't think we're going to see any of the sort of drama we saw in the last couple of nights in the Champions League.
No, probably not, but you never know, do you?
Well, look, enjoy the game, and hope you get a hat, and we will catch up with you soon.
Well, I've still got my feet in frozen ice to try and, you know, make sure they're nice and supple for my next walk, which will probably be later tonight when we park our bus about 4 miles from the stadium. That's all I'll need.
Okay, well, keep flying the flag for the UK in these difficult times. There's the moose there. Over in Russia. That laugh will probably get him deported. We've got that game live tonight from 7 o'clock on TalkSport. And don't forget, we've got the Champions League and Europa League draw on Jim White's show tomorrow.
I think
10.
Liverpool will be looking forward to that draw.
Yeah.
They've got a big chance in this competition.
Certainly have. You still saying they can't beat Real Madrid? You change your mind after last night?
I still can't believe Real Madrid.
Real Madrid would still be a favourite. It makes sense.
They can't possibly play as badly as that ever again. I think they were in that thing when you're caught between two stools. You're 4-1 up. You don't really know how to approach it.
Sure.
And they got overtaken by events, but they were astonishingly poor and very lucky to go through.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon. We reconvene tomorrow with Martin Kellner, the Clips, more live racing from Aintree, and comedian Harry Hill will be here.
That's right. And I'll be letting you know whether my attempt to link in with John Hammer has come off.
Yeah, don't touch that dial, eh? Thanks for downloading.
Google him.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.